Our scripture reading this morning comes from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Stand with me as I read from God's word. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. No one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised by my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Somebody asked a question this morning. I thought it was a pretty good question. They said, "You know, that's a pretty long passage of Scripture you got today. You going to preach on the whole thing?" Yeah, of course. Now I have to make up for loss. Where did that come from? It must have come from somebody in the band. I don't know. I'm not sure. Just a reminder, for those of you who ordered books for the Wednesday study and didn't pick them up, they are available in the back on the table following the service this morning. And we're going to try to do something remarkable on Wednesday evening. We're going to try to begin at exactly 6 o'clock. So if you're coming, make sure you're here around. You don't think it'll happen? Yeah. We're going to try to begin at 6 o'clock so we're sure that we get out on time on Wednesday evening. A great gathering this last week, and we look forward to seeing you again, and look forward to seeing many of you tonight and then next Friday evening for the wonderful session we have. How many set up for that? Almost 100 people coming to the Love and Respect Conference. We hope that you gain both when you come on next Friday evening, both love and respect for one another. Let's have a word of prayer together. Thank you, Lord God, for your holy word, for the marvel of its message for us as we gather in your name this day. Guide us as we contemplate it, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It was Barbara Lundblad who reacquainted me with a very interesting person. She wrote a message entitled "Trusting the Wind," which would have been extremely appropriate for today, and acquainted me with Amelia Bedelia. Now, some of you may know Amelia quite well. Others of you may not know her at all, depending on your age and your outlook on life. I find her extremely interesting and always thought she was one of the most remarkable characters about which anyone could write. The author was the late Peggy Parrish, and I found out that her nephew is continuing on her great work, writing these wonderful children's books about Amelia Bedelia, the wacky world of Amelia. She has a funny name because she's a funny person, and if you really don't know her, we need to introduce her to you this day. She's a housekeeper, as some of you may know, a maid or a housekeeper. We would say in this day and time to be appropriate, she was a domestic worker. And she cleans houses and she bakes bread and serves tea and does yard work and runs errands. But mainly she makes people laugh because she has a tendency to get mixed up in the meaning of words. She just gets a bit confused. I'll give you some illustration of that. For example, when Amelia bakes a sponge cake, she puts sponges in it. Yeah. When weeding the garden, she replants the weeds. When she pitches a tent, well, she throws it into the woods. I mean, that's what it means, doesn't it? And you ought to see her when she was told to dress the chicken for dinner. Yeah. What a sight for sore eyes. They didn't have much to eat tonight, but the friend they had at the table was dressed appropriately. There's another wonderful example. Amelia, working for Mr. and Mrs. Rogers, is helping to prepare for a party, upcoming party. It's just one of those big events. And suddenly she remembers that she had forgotten some chores that she had to take care of. Oh, she said, oh my gosh, the fish. Mr. Rogers told me to scale and ice the fish. I knew there was something that I had to do. And so she piled the fish on the kitchen scale to make sure she knew how much they weighed. There, she said, you just scale yourself while I ice the cakes. And so she spread icing on the cupcakes, which had been so beautifully prepared for her. It was a fun job, a wonderful task to do. They looked so nice, she said, as she completed her task, and there is enough icing left for the fish. And so she picked up the fish by the tail and iced one side of the fish, and then iced the other side of the fish. And when she was done, she put the iced fish and the iced cupcakes all in the cupboard together, waiting for the big dinner that was coming later on that day. Ah, Amelia Bedelia was constantly mixed up. And in some ways, I think Amelia might be of help to us in understanding what happens in today's gospel lesson. Oh, it's a passage of Scripture we almost take for granted, where Nicodemus, a grown man, a learned man, a searching man, is now coming to Jesus, and like Amelia, he has a tendency to be confused. And when he is given some instructions, he has an ability to get it all mixed up in his mind and his thinking. Now, Jesus' dialogue with Nicodemus is reported only in the Gospel according to John. You don't find it anywhere else in the Gospels. And it's a very, very interesting story about one of the Pharisees who comes to see Jesus under the cover of darkness. And it's not just a coincidence that it happens this way. It may be, no, it is, a very subtle but important part of the story. Nicodemus is a Pharisee, a leader of the Jews. And if you read John, he explains that a little more fully. We're talking about a powerful, authoritative religious group. Nicodemus is one of them. And they had already, the Pharisees that is, had already sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to question John the Baptist. It may very well be, as John reports, that the Pharisees may have been the ones who questioned Jesus after he had cleansed the temple. And now one of their very own, a devout Jew, a learned man of the law, comes to inquire from Jesus about some very important things that have to do with the unmet longings in his own spiritual life. And he came to the right person. But you notice he came to Jesus at nighttime. Now, why did he come at night? Could it have been just a secret meeting? I would rather meet Jesus when not everyone else is around me. Well, it may have also been a secret meeting because I don't want any of the other Pharisees to know that I am meeting with Jesus. Or is it the case that coming at night, Nicodemus illuminates chaos and darkness, which always is associated with the nighttime, a darkness into which the light of the world has come. How does John put it so beautifully at the beginning of the gospel? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not put it out. Oh, more than coincidence that Nicodemus comes at night, and before Jesus, he asks some important questions. Rabbi, teacher, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher from God. You're a representative sent from God. No one could do what you do if God were not a part of it. And Jesus responds, you're absolutely right. And no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Whew. Listen, Nicodemus. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. And now comes the Amelia Bedelia experience for Nicodemus, because he responds to Jesus by asking, well, how can one be born again after becoming old? That's what I want to know. Can you, isn't this an Amelia experience? Can you enter a second time into your mother's womb and be born? See, the word Jesus used, from above, may also be translated again or anew. So Nicodemus heard Jesus say, you must be born again. He took it literally. Oh, well, how do you do this? And he sets up a rather interesting setting for us to contemplate. Nicodemus, you missed it. You missed it. Jesus is pointing to the gift of the Spirit, a gift from above, a gift from outside of ourselves, a gift from God who transforms us and makes us anew and gives us a sense of perspective and hope and life that this world cannot give. It's more than something physical of the body. Don't you get it, Nicodemus? No one can enter the kingdom of God, Jesus said, without being born of water and the Spirit. And here Jesus uses a wonderful word, pneuma. We use that word in association with pneumonia. That seems to be running rampant also, along with type A and B influenza during this time of the year. Pneuma, which can mean wind or breath or spirit. Jesus uses that word to try to get a hold of Nicodemus and you and me. It's something more. Being born again is being born of the Spirit from above. It is a wind that passes through us and chills us and guides us and directs us and gives us a sense of hope. Don't you get it, Nicodemus? Nicodemus is still having trouble understanding a literal understanding of the body's role in salvation, and Jesus wants to go one step further, and he asks Jesus, after all of this discussion, what do you mean by this? What do you mean by this, Jesus? Jesus says, trust the wind. Boy, what a comment. Trust the wind. You must be born from above. Look beyond yourself for the signs of wind and breath and spirit, and come face to face with the living God. Wow. That's what it's all about? Ah, yes, Nicodemus. And he puzzled over the whole thing. We don't meet Nicodemus again in John's gospel until we see him defending Jesus against the chief priests and the Pharisees who sought to arrest him for attempting to visit Jerusalem during the Feast of the Tabernacles. And there in that passage of Scripture in the 7th chapter, where they're going to seek to arrest him, Nicodemus comes to the defense of Jesus and asks, does our law decide about a man's guilt without first listening to him and finding out what he is doing? An important question. Examine the evidence. Examine the evidence, the Pharisees shout back. See if any prophet ever has come from Galilee. And I love the end of that particular passage of Scripture. It's very subtle on the one hand, but interesting on the other. Then they all went home. That's it. Then they all went home. The last time we see Nicodemus in John's Gospel is after the crucifixion, the horrific crucifixion, the horrible crucifixion of Jesus. When we look at the scene, and we will visit it periodically all during our journey to the cross and to the day of resurrection, most of Jesus' friends and disciples and acquaintances are gone. Why? Because we don't like it. Two, we never thought it could happen. Three, we don't understand it. But in this season, in this scene following the crucifixion, who do we see but Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus claim Jesus' body and lovingly lay it in the tomb? This time we don't hear Nicodemus asking any questions. We don't hear any comment from him at all. The only thing that we find out is that he brought about 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes to anoint and wrap the body of Jesus for burial. One author I read said, 100 pounds? We didn't need that much. Well, he did, if he was still hooked on this idea of the body being the important thing in terms of one's journey with the everlasting God. Does Nicodemus become a follower of Jesus? I guess that's one of the interesting questions that comes out of this passage of Scripture. Based on interest in and concern for Jesus in the face of hostility of Pharisee colleagues, and based on the fact that he was there at the crucifixion, lends us to think there are some great possibilities that he may have become a follower of Jesus, but I don't know. I don't know. We would like to believe he made that commitment, but there is nothing in John's Gospel that specifically says, and Nicodemus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, found the kingdom for which he was searching. The only yes to that question really comes in a 4th century work called the Acts of Pilate, later known as the Gospel of Nicodemus, in which Nicodemus defends Jesus by saying, he is a man who has wrought many useful and glorious miracles, such as no man on earth has ever wrought before. And if you follow some of the legends without biblical foundation, they will tell you that Nicodemus was baptized by Peter and John and then banished from Jerusalem during the Jewish uprising against Stephen, the first martyr of the church. Nicodemus. The only survivor of a shipwreck was washed up on a small, uninhabited island. He was all by himself, afraid and alone. He prayed feverishly for God to rescue him. And every day he scanned the horizon for some kind of sign that someone would come. He prayed for help constantly, and help never came. It never appeared. He was worn out emotionally and mentally and physically and experientially. His mind would play tricks on him. And in the midst of exhaustion, in order to keep busy but also to provide for himself, he built a little hut that would give him shelter at night but also would be a place where he could keep his own personal possessions, the few he had left. But then one day, after scavenging for food, he was on his way home when he looked up on the horizon, and there he saw a cloud of smoke. And he hurried over to the place where his little dwelling was, the one that he made with his own hands, only to find out that it was a gulf and a blaze, all in flames, and the smoke rolled through the sky. The worst thing that could happened to him, as far as he knew. Everything was lost. Everything was gone. He was stunned with grief and anger. God, how in the world could you do this to me? As he fell on the ground in total exhaustion, depressed in despair. And there is where he fell asleep that night. Early the next morning, he was startled awake by the sound of motors and an approaching ship. It had come to rescue him. In tears rolling down his face, he asked, How did you know I was here? To his rescuers. How did you know I was here? We saw your smoke signal. They responded. We saw your smoke signal. You see, you never know. You never know when God is present. You have to be ready for the wind. You have to be ready for the wind, the breath, the Holy Spirit, as it touches us, sends a chill through our body, tingles up and down the arms, and something happens to us. Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you could have it, but you must be born anew. You must be born from above. Be open to God's wind and breath and spirit in your life. Today, if you find yourself like Nicodemus, indecisive and unsure, remember the gospel in a nutshell, which includes John's wisdom for today. As I mentioned to the children, this is the most powerful passage of Scripture, perhaps in the Bible, in the New Testament. And if you remember nothing else, you remember, and the little books are out there if you'd like to pick them up for your Lenten devotional, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have everlasting life. Nicodemus, in today's Scripture, was not ready to make the final commitment. Are you ready to make that commitment? Let the wind blow and change your life forever. Amen.